The English Civil Wars, 1639 until 1660. The Battle of Gainsborough. Last time, on July the 13th, 1643, we had the Battle of Roundway Down. On July the 18th, the Parliamentarian commander Brereton probed Chester, but withdraws after about 2 days, which brings us to July the 20th with the Battle of Gainsborough. Now, when the English Civil War was declared, Gainsborough in Lincolnshire lay in an area which supported the Parliament, but the town itself had Royalist sympathies. The town was strategic importance to both sides, sited as it was on a crossing of the River Trent and lying on important roads that led both north and south. In March of 1643, Sir John Henderson sent a raiding party from the Royalist base at Newark to capture Gainsborough for King Charles. The town was surrounded and quickly surrendered without resistance. The town was put in charge of the Earl of Kingston and was used as a base to harass the Parliamentarians in Lincolnshire. The Royalists attacked at Louth and at Market Rossin, together with the capture of the gunpowder intended for Rotherham, provoked Parliament into action. Lord Willoughby of Parnham launched a surprise night attack on Gainsborough on July the 16th, 1643, and captured the town. The Earl of Kingston was later killed by a round of shot from one of his own men as he was being taken prisoner down at the river to Hull. It seemed, however, that Willoughby's triumph might be short-lived. The Royalists immediately sent Charles Cavendish with a force to siege and retake Gainsborough. The Parliamentarians responded by sending relieving forces to Gainsborough from Nottingham under Sir John Meldrum and from Cambridgeshire under Colonel Oliver Cromwell. The two relief forces met on July the 27th at North Scarl, 10 miles south of Gainsborough, and were joined by a detachment from Lincoln. The next day, July the 28th, 1643, the 1,200-strong Parliamentarian force marched north. At the village of Lee, just south of Gainsborough, the Parliamentarians met a Royalist advance guard of about 100 cavalry, part of Cavendish's army. After a short skirmish, the Royalists were driven back to Cavendish's main body of cavalry, which was drawn up on the top of Foxby Hill, to the east of Gainsborough. The Parliamentarian troops pressed on, advanced up Foxby Hill, and came face to face with Cavendish's main force. After a period of fierce fighting, the Royalists began to fall back, eventually fleeing from the battlefield, pursued by the Parliamentarian cavalry. Cromwell then noticed that Cavendish had held a regiment of cavalry in reserve and was now moving to counterattack those Parliamentarians that remained on the field. Seeing this, Cromwell, Major Whaley, and 3 troops of Parliamentary cavalry attacked Cavendish and his reserve from the rear. Cromwell and his troopers forced Cavendish's cavalry down the hill into the flat, marshy land of the Trent River, where 300 Royalists were slaughtered. Cavendish was knocked off his horse and killed by a sword thrust in the chest. The place where he was killed later became known as Candish Bog. With the battle over, Cromwell rode into Gainsborough with supplies for Willoughby's garrison. While this was being done, news arrived that a small Royalist force was marching on Gainsborough from the north. Cromwell and Meldrum, thinking this was the remnant of Cavendish's forces that hadn't been engaged, rode out to meet them with 600 of Willoughby's foot soldiers. At Morton, they drove off the 2 troops of Royalist cavalry, then climbed the nearby hill to be stunned by what they discovered. The army of Lord Newcastle, consisting of about 30 regiments of infantry and a huge body of cavalry, were marching on Gainsborough to retake it for the king. Willoughby's foot soldiers fell back in disorder. With his own men and horses exhausted by the recent battle, Cromwell ordered a withdrawal. In a disciplined maneuver, 2 rear guard parties of cavalry, one from Cromwell's regiment and the other from Lincoln, stood firm and retired alternately in order to cover the main force. With the loss of only about 2 men, they held the Royalists until they reached the safety of Lincoln. And so it was a relatively short battle, a little back and forth. And then on July the 30th, Willoughby surrenders Gainsborough to Lord Newcastle. And that ends all of the fighting in July. Now, August, we have a whole series of various things, but no big battles. On August the 7th, the Irish insurgent leader, O'Neill, defeats the Royalist, Lord Moore, at Port Leicester. On August the 10th, Charles begins the siege of Gloucester. The Earl of Manchester is appointed to command the Eastern Association Army. On August the 7th, the Church of Scotland ratified the Solemn League and Covenant. So now the Scots are going to come in on the Parliamentarian side. On August the 23rd, Parliamentarian Commander Manchester begins the siege of King's Lane. On August the 30th, Parliamentarian Commander Brereton captures Exhall Castle. Now then, we start getting into September. We're working our way towards a major battle at Newbury. So that's on the 20th of September. So the rest of the month, we have these maneuvers. So on the September the 2nd, Royalist Commander Newcastle commences the siege of Hull, and Barnstable surrenders to Prince Maurice. On September the 4th, Parliamentarian Commander Stamford surrenders the town of Exeter to Prince Maurice. Maurice is on a roll. September the 5th, Lord Essex, the Parliamentarian, arrives at Prestbury Hill and forces Charles to lift the siege of Gloucestershire. On September the 11th, Brereton and Sir Thomas Middleton, both Parliamentarians, seize Wem and establishes a garrison. On September the 15th, we have the cessation of arms signed by Charles by the Marquis de Ormond and Lord Montgomery for the Confederates. It's a one-year ceasefire allowing English troops and Irish garrisons to return to England to fight for the Royalists. So Ireland's going to take a break, and those troops are going to head to England. And then the Royalists immediately begin to commence the siege of Plymouth. On September the 16th, King's Lynn surrenders to the Parliamentarian Commander Manchester. And on September the 18th, we have a skirmish at Aldburn Chase. And 2 days later, we're going to have the Battle of Newbury, where you have Lord Essex, the Parliamentarian, engaging Charles's forces, who will later withdraw, which allows Essex to move towards London. So, a lot of action going on here, maneuvering around, pretty much in the same area. So, we'll see how the Battle of Newbury goes. Now, the sources for this, History of England by Thornton, Lockyer, and Smith, Cromwell, Lord Protector by Fraser, Fairfax by Wilson, Cromwell by Wedgwood, Cavaliers versus Roundheads, English Civil War, 1642-1649 by Hibbert, English Civil Wars, 1640-1660 by Warden, and the English Civil Wars, Atlas and Concise History of the Wars of the Three Kingdoms, 1639-51 by Lipscomb. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com. Ask a question. Leave a comment, check out our merchandise, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.